Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
The Mike O'Mara Show would love to get you guys on to talk watches.
Their TikTok does have 200,000 followers.
There it is.
You see?
So that's where they're getting the money from. Isn't it funny that
they would have TikTok? Because they're watchmakers.
Jesus. You are just, you are blissfully you. The point is to give your family something to interact with when you're gone, so they can still ask questions and go, what?
What if they don't interact with you when you're alive?
The first Golden Bachelorette was announced yesterday, and she's from the great state of Maryland.
Hello, my name is Joan Vassos, and I'm going to be on that Bachelor show.
We're going down the ocean, we're going to go down and get some English's fried chicken, and I'm going to go on the Golden Bachelor.
All that and more, the Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Nice to see you on a lovely Wednesday morning.
Hi, Mike.
In the states of... Hi, Rob. Got Josh here, got Rob here, got me here. I would like to start today with a joke that was sent to me by a golfing buddy. I don't know how you categorize this joke, but...
Is it a golf joke? Golf is such a great source of comedy.
I would describe this as a naughty golf Irish dad joke.
That's a naughty Irish dad would tell this out on the course?
No, I don't want to overanalyze it, but it's naughty Irish dad joke.
Okay, very good.
Ready?
Yep.
All right. And I always get a little concerned about telling jokes, but I might as well just dive in.
Okay, right? Please.
So, there's this American, and he travels over to Ireland, and he's a golfer, and he wants to play a round of golf, but he's on his own. So he travels down to Killarney. And he wants to find a golf game. So he finds the local pro shop there, and he walks in. He says, I'm looking for somebody to play a round of golf. Is there anybody you'd know that might be available? And the guy behind the desk says, oh, Michelin is your man. That's the right guy for this. I'll give you his phone number. And so he gives the American the Michelin's phone number. Calls, rings him up. He answers the phone. He says, yeah, I'm looking for a game. They said, you are the man. He said, oh, yeah, I love to play. I'd love to play. He said, well, I'm looking for a partner tomorrow. Can you play? He said, yeah, absolutely. They arranged to meet at 9 o'clock at the golf course. And Michelin says, I'll be there at 9 o'clock, but I could be a half an hour late. And so 9 o'clock the next day comes, and Michelin shows up with the American. He's got a left-handed set of golf clubs, and they go out and they play their round of golf. And the American's beaten terribly. The Michelin has got a lot of game, and he beats him. This doesn't sit well with the American. And he says, listen, I know I can do better. I'd love to have a rematch. How about tomorrow? He said, yeah, I can play with you tomorrow. I said, how about 9 o'clock? He said, 9 o'clock it is, but I could be a half an hour late. So 9 o'clock the next morning comes. Michelin shows up sharp. He's got a right-handed set of clubs. And he goes out and he plays the American again. Well, unfortunately, it's the same result for the American. Yeah. He beats him handily, just wipes the floor with the guy, unfortunately. It's terrible. And says, well, the American once again is, look, I got to get it back somehow. I got to play you just one more time. I mean, you've beaten me both with the two sets of clubs here. He says, how about just one more match? I said, yeah, fine. I'll meet you at 9 o'clock, but I might be a half hour late. He said, listen. Yeah, you know, the American looks at him and says, you've beaten me with a right-handed set of clubs. You've beaten me with a left-handed set of clubs. How do you decide what clubs you're going to go? And Michelin says, well, I wake up in the morning and I look over at the wife. If the wife's lying on her right-hand side, I play with my right-handed clubs. If she's lying on her left-handed side, I play with my left-handed set of clubs. And the American says, well, what about if she's lying on her back? He says, well, then I'll be a half hour late. Oh, my goodness. Thank you very much. There you go. There you go.
show, Irish Dad. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Great American comedian Mike O'Mara, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hear it. Let's hear it
Irish,
for him.
Naughty Irish dad joke.
Yes.
See, naughty jokes and dad jokes don't go together because dad jokes
are
jokes you can tell in front of your kid. That's not, you know. I wouldn't say that in front of my 10-year-old, but, you know, I thought
Well, you know what?
Lovely.
He might not get it. That
did
would
you
be
enjoy
a wasted.
It?
I loved it, and I did not expect it.
You did? Good. Well, that the idea is hiding the fact that, you know, if he's going to...
I mean, I usually can see them coming down the road, and that surprised me. So I give that a 9 of 10, Mike.
My buddy Don might be over in Ireland. I don't know where you sent that from, but it sure looked like it was just a guy sitting around a table and somebody recorded him telling the joke. But it was an Irish guy that was telling that joke.
Don Francisco?
Don Francisco, yes. You knew that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
From
it was
Don
Vito. It was Don Vito Corleone. You know, it's interesting when I come in here, Josh and I have been hopping around on social, checking different things out, and Josh is getting a feel. He said, hey, I noticed you were looking at that site again. I said, yeah, I'm looking at that site. I have to be careful, though, because I don't want it to get too much into my head. I have to police myself to a degree, Josh, but we are making our presence known. And yesterday, I not only lingered online.
Lingered.
I rubed it. There is, you know, I like watches, right?
You do?
So there's this. I love watches.
I know.
But I don't have expensive watches. I have, mid-priced watches.
Right.
But I love them. And if I could, I'd have lots of wonderful watches. I'd start a really good watch collection, but I don't, and I still have fun with them. And I go on various different websites that involve watches.
Okay.
Some of them are a little slim shady. Some of them are controversial, and some
how
of them are just informative.
How could a watch site be controversial? I just
I'll give
ask.
You an example. There's a guy, Nico. He's an
we've
Irish
heard of him. Yeah.
Watch dealer. I've tried to get him on the show. And Nico
didn't he pretend to be his own advance man? Was that the guy?
No, that was Teddy whatever.
Okay,
I don't know what Teddy's last name is. I don't frequent Teddy because was kind of snarky, and Teddy travels in the. He's not really in the realm of as interesting as some of the other guys.
Okay,
Nico
good.
Is an Irish guy that reacts to things online. People wearing watches, and he's Irish, Dutch. Really interesting accent, big guy, and he gets on. And then there's this website, Trax New York. It's a jeweler out of the Diamond District
in
New York.
Mike, that's a disco that was big with cocaine. Trax
New York.
No,
that's D.C. That's D.C.
Oh, okay.
Didn't they have a place called Trax in the
80s? I think every city had a Trax.
So this guy is a feisty jeweler that goes out on the street and hands people like gold bars and silver and does watch deals. And there are many different people in the Diamond District that are watch dealers and jewelry dealers that populate the internet, and they show you how they wheel and deal online. And it fascinates me. I love it. It's an interesting biz. And for anyone that's ever been to New York City, If you get a chance, check out the Diamond District. It's fascinating.
We've
the way
done
you go
it
down
together.
There.
We've done it.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
funny.
And
it's very obvious.
The reason when I was going to get engaged to Carla, the reason I didn't buy a ring in the Diamond District is I was afraid. I felt like I was going into a sea of piranhas.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's fun to watch. And when I do that, it's that's how I populate it. Then there's a place over in Miami. And it's a family-run jewelry operation called CRM Jewelers.
Family-run or like
family-run? No, family-run. Cuban family.
Oh, okay.
I believe Cuban, extraction in Miami. And they do the same thing. They talk about their watch deals, and they go to watch shows, and they do all this stuff. So what comes across my feed a couple of days ago is they are having one of these raffles. And I really should be doing this off air because I was going to ask Josh about raffles because they are having a
competition. It's another great nightclub, Mike.
Raffles 2 was the nightclub that I worked at. Back in the day, Rob remembers that. You know, back in the day.
Yes. It's on the internet. You can always trust the person on the other side of that raffle.
I found that to be the case.
You can see that number being drawn.
We have only worked a short period of time, but you will know that there is a large part of me that falls under the giant R of Rube. I'm a Rube. I knew that. So,
I don't know that you're a Rube as much as you are, Mike, optimistic. I think you're
maybe optimistic. Maybe it is. Maybe that's my level of optimism. Maybe that's my level of gambling. It's a form of gambling.
It's gambling. That's gambling. We'll put off the TMOS raffle for a few months. Then we'll suck everyone in.
That's right.
It's got to be something worthwhile, though.
Right.
I was thinking about it yesterday. I was. So here it is.
Probably not a watch, Josh.
They are offering a raffle for, in its past,
Mike, you in your very first sentence show your rubish optimism with, they are offering. Here is what I'm offering you. They're not offering you anything. They're taking.
They are having a raffle.
Okay. Right.
And the raffle is for $100,000 in watches and jewelry. And the picture is the whole family standing in front of one of those metallic watch case briefcases with all the watches in it.
Sure.
And it's a picture that just sucks me in. Yeah. I couldn't imagine.
Well, you'd love
going
to
over
it.
There. I would love to win it. And so I enter.
And a short drive for you, right? You could just zip on over. And
I could drive over to Miami. I could be there
the Tamiami
in no time.
Trail.
I not only purchased tickets for the raffle. I forgot how many I purchased. But I start following it yesterday. Because they I have to go out of my way to find it. They give me one confirmation email when I sign up for this. And then I'm like, I think today is a raffle. And I go to their live stream. And they do like a four-hour live stream ramping up to this raffle.
That's got to be thrilling.
Yeah. This company does a lot of raffles like this.
They do?
Well, I Google 100,000 watch collection CRM, and I have one that they gave it away last November.
Oh, so they've done it before.
So they'll sucker you in a few times.
Well, now hold on. I don't like that word. It's, sucker. I enjoyed myself.
Okay.
I enjoy the optimism.
Yeah, it's the gamble. They will get you in.
It's a gamble. And so
need not be present to win.
No, you don't. Well, of course not. I mean, it's online.
Right.
They have people as far as Africa.
Oh. Well, that's legitimate then.
So I'm watching this, and then not only do I buy the ticket, but I join the chat, like chat we would have for our – because you know how much we enjoy our live chats.
We do. Right? We do. Talking watches.
Talking watches, and I enjoy that. And so it's
Hey, there they are.
It's these guys. Here they are.
There they are.
Here's the family.
Oh, there's the picture I got sucked in by, too. That's Carlos and Charlie, the two Carlos with the
now
jacket, Charlie with the white shirt.
That's a Mexican restaurant.
Stop it. Stop.
Well, it's true.
Stop.
Okay.
They're it's a small outfit. And then the picture underneath them, not the one with the lady pointing at the watch, but the one beneath that, that's the case they showed where they're standing in front of the watches.
The lady with the watch is their current raffle that you can sign up for now.
Oh, is that what is that one?
The ones below are the ones that have already taken place.
I see.
Well, I am picking my kid up from school. They're doing the watch raffle yesterday at 2:45. And will you stop laughing at me?
I'm sorry. I got to ask. I know you bought multiple tickets, and I don't want to ask you how many you bought.
Right.
But how much is one ticket?
I don't remember. I really don't. I really don't remember. I think it's $2.
Okay. Well, so it's nominal. Yeah, it's nominal.
It's two something. It's not a dollar symbol here.
That looks like pounds. That looks like pounds or euros or something, right?
It's not an this raffle.
Well, I think it's a British based raffle.
It's two bitcoins.
Listen, if I had won, I would have hopped over there and I would have joined them in Miami, gone out, and had a perfectly wonderful time. You know, I've wanted to get watch people on this show forever. All these online people are difficult to get to come on shows. They don't want to.
Almost they want as to if do they have something thing. To hide.
Rob, I don't know. I don't
either.
They had they had the drawing, and then 10 minutes later, that once they got it all processed, because you could buy tickets right up until the last second,
sure.
And then they announced the winner, some guy named Diego. And
is he a relative?
I don't know.
He might be.
You never can tell.
Yeah.
I know I'm a rube. But
you know what? As long as you didn't accidentally, by misplacing the dollar symbol with something else, spend like, you know, $80,000 on chances.
I am.
This is fun. Yeah.
On the shelf with my bad back. And so I have to be totally honest, full disclosure, I have been a bit squirrely lately. I've been a little bit, messed up because I kind of don't know what to do with myself. And
right.
That's been a little frustrating for me. So I just have
So the
been,
answer is raffles.
It just happened. It happened.
You know, I bet you ever, if you have a local church, you could also take a chance on a cake. I mean, the sky's the limit.
Well, we've all done charity raffles.
And, sure. And, I well, mean, I mean, I've, you could do a charity
I've drawn,
raffle.
I've drawn more raffle tickets than anybody in the world. I've done those raffles, and they're, well, yes. That's fine.
And I do the 50-50
they have raffles at Major League Baseball games. What's
yeah,
that?
I do 50-50 at every ball game I go to.
Sure,
I get sucked into that raffle.
It's fun. And if they have a sellout, you get, half of $8,000 or half of $18,000. I mean, that's a alluring thing, a 50-50
That's a watch
raffle.
Right there, yeah. $9,000.
You know, why are you so dismissive of this?
But Mike, because obviously a 50-50 in a major league ballpark probably has more checks and balances on it than some $2 Miami watch raffle. I think perhaps it might be crooked.
I don't think so. I don't think they could do it. Josh, what say you? You were reviewing this, and you're our new guy trying to monetize this show in every way possible. I mean, if it's
did you use show money to buy those tickets?
What?
Did you use show money to buy those tickets?
No.
Okay, just checking.
I bought for the cocktail party. I bought a camera stand for Carla with my own moolah.
How many tickets did you buy?
I'm not sure I want to say that? To either one of you.
Okay.
How about just tell Josh I won't
say,
listen?
I would say I think this is a legit raffle because they've done way too many raffles to continue to get away with it.
Because that's exactly right. Yeah,
10 raffles up on the screen that they've done previously.
Now, the fact that the company is in Great Britain, at least that's what it appeared to be. Does that does that involve I know that there are
that's the cover
legalities
right there. Yeah.
That they have to adhere to, correct?
It's probably because of gambling legalities that they
of different
that
states.
It's in overseas and yes. It's just like if you gamble on sports, there's one site you can use in Florida and nothing else.
Yeah, like you're going to be in Costa Rica, something going.
Right.
But those places, I know there was an online site one time that I didn't. I won, and then I had trouble getting my money out.
Yes.
An online casino that I participated in.
Well, yes. If you want to gamble in Florida, you have to use the Hard Rock app.
The Hard Rock
it's
app.
Actually legal
if I lay down
Florida,
a bet on a ball game,
yep.
I have
yeah,
to use
but
the Hard Rock.
To be fair, you have to be careful. Don't get the Rock Hard app. That's very different.
He doesn't gamble, Josh.
Yeah. Now you know that's a lie. I do gamble, but I'm not going to gamble online because I feel I would lose myself.
Yeah,
it would be too easy.
Well, it can be scary.
These I do notice that these raffles all have affiliate codes also. So maybe we can
free shipping?
Oh no, he means no that we
no,
could
no,
we
like
could,
the show.
We could well,
like
we're giving them what they love. We're giving
them
publicity right now.
Oh,
give them
all right.
Publicity.
If you love a raffle. Now, that brings me to my next part.
Uh-huh.
I do get in the chat group. And for whatever reason, and you guys might like this, the chat group is I am identified as the Mike O'Mara show. For what reason, I don't know. Either I was identified as that, and I hop on the chat group, and I said, the Mike O'Mara show would love to get you guys on to talk watches. And they ignore that one. And I'm
right.
Like, well, maybe I have to make it more personal. And then I said, if I win the prize, should I split it with my wife? And unfortunately, it comes out because I was in the car. It comes out, should I spit it with my wife? And that's the one they read, and then they make fun of the fact that I said spit it with my wife. But that
the
was
DJ's
my,
in the chat room again.
I am in the turnaround waiting for my kid to come out of school. I'm watching it live on my phone in the car. God, I love it. I love our technology. I love that we do this for a living. I love it. It makes me happy. Really does.
I'm reading more of their page, and they're giving away a lot of $100,000 prizes.
Okay.
But it's merchandise, right? It's not 100 grand.
It's merchandise.
It's merchandise.
Yep.
And retail
and
prices.
And it also includes a trip to Miami on all of these. Besides the fact that there's 8 people in the photo and they've had 9 prizes is concerning. But more concerning is they only have 15,000 followers.
Okay.
On their website.
So the finances don't add up.
So the finances don't add up. Like how are they getting to that 100,000 a raffle? Normally the raffle you raise more than you give away.
Well, it seems to me that they had a tremendous amount of participation all over the world when they were doing it. So they must have, I didn't know that
You think there's a guy, Mike, that's saying, I would love to win, but I don't care to follow the website.
That might be me. I don't know if I followed him or subscribed to him. I don't know if I did but I participated in the raffle.
And I don't know what follow on this website means.
Okay. All right.
It means visitors, Mike.
Social media.
If you hit follow, someone comes to your door.
Look, we all know it's a little bit of Dodge City out there, and I friggin' love it. I like the fact that this is the new area where this is the land grab. This is the pioneers that go out there on the open plain and find their plot of land, and that's what we're doing right now. Before we start to cannibalize each other, which we've tried to do over the years, we find that open plot of land that's fertile. We plant our seeds.
Mike. You go wildcatting, I'll prepare an episode of Best Of for the day you go missing, because it's coming.
All right, their TikTok does have 200,000 followers.
There it is.
You see?
So that's where they're getting the money from.
Isn't it funny that they would have TikTok? Because they're watchmakers.
Jesus. You are just, you are blissfully you. You are... That's another reason when I go to those websites that say I demean and harass Rob Spiewak, I don't consider, I think that I have demeaned and harassed as much as anybody, but I didn't yesterday when I was talking about his gardening present for his wife. Okay, I was giving him the kind of hard time that was all in fun. I don't really care that he gave his wife that gift.
When I offer that tale and when I make a bad joke like TikTok, I'm inviting the Harrison.
Of course you are.
That's what I want. That's what I crave.
And I maintain from yesterday's discussion that the gift was... sweat equity with a gift is something I've done. I will cook a meal for my wife.
Right.
Getting out there and prepping the yard and having it look beautiful is a great gift. The problem I had was that you didn't execute it the proper way. And
I
still maintain that if you had done that when she was away and your son had come in and you guys had done, and then she arrives, and even if it wasn't on the day itself and she shows up and you got a beautiful mulched yard and you've stained your chairs,
Mike,
or whatever
I've
you're
been
doing
staining my chairs for years.
What were you going to do to your chairs so I don't look like an
sand
idiot
them down and seal them because they're showing weather
sand
issues.
Them down and seal them.
Yes,
that's that was a radio show in the 1970s that
yes, with a very small following but dedicated.
That's right, sand them down.
I'm seal them.
Nice to see you. Fantastic.
But I think the problem with the Mother's Day present is I just raised Robert poorly. So it's
that mean? What is that?
Because
what the hell does that mean?
He didn't get it done.
Was he so you bought the mulch and it was his end of the bargain that he was going
to
spread
it.
The mulch.
Exactly.
But you guys were talking on Saturday about not doing it till Sunday also.
Yeah, that's true. So but we did end up buying the mulch on Saturday.
The timing is the problem.
Yeah, you know what, Mike? The problems with the gift are multifold.
And you were not happy with her response, and perhaps you should ask her. I would welcome the response.
Mm-hmm.
Would she have been more impressed if everything had just been done prior to Mother's Day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I blew it. But I threw it out there hoping maybe there was a shred of commonality that maybe someone would support me. But no.
But again,
I'm sure people support his mother, not yours.
That's true. And also, she never touched that banana pudding on Mother's Day. And that's still a bit of an issue. Because now, Mike, the pudding is it's headed for the trash today. It's totally devolved. The issue, Mike, pudding on day three, the bottom layer of Nilla wafers is now purely goo.
All right.
The only thing that's held up is the meringue, because I use cream of tartar.
Cream of tartar. I always thought that's the grossest ingredient that you would put in food.
No.
Cream of tartar, because tartar is what you scrape off teeth.
No, but you know, this is the tartar is actually scraped from the inside of wine barrels. It's a specific acidic addition that helps
it's
the
scraped stand. From the inside of wine barrels?
I believe. Yeah, let me double check. But it's that, really? That yeah. Mike, you don't eat it by the spoonful. You use it
earwigs.
To make...
Ew.
Mike, what you do is you use it so that your meringue has stiff peaks.
Okay. All right. I get it. So you get the cream of tartar that's scraped off the inside of wine barrels.
I believe
that is used to give stiffness to your peaks.
It helps the meringue set up and stay. Yeah.
And then we go see Micheline. We got to take a break. We're going to take a break when we come back.
Time?
We've got to. We're doing things a little differently.
Okay.
I listen. I'm trying to do better each and every day. I get it. You know, there are people that don't want the monologue to be too long. There are people that don't want too many commercials. What do you want? What do you want? What the F do you want?
I got nowhere else to go.
We'll be right back. The Roundtable, the Mike O'Meara Show, everybody. Hey, let me tell you about wine. I love a good glass of wine. There's nothing like it. Did you know Americans pay about twice as much for their wine as the rest of the world? Why? Because laws dating back to Prohibition ensure the right of wholesalers to make big margins. That's crazy. So listen up. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines, a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Plus, you can pause or cancel at any time. Go to nakedwines.com/TMOS and click Enter Voucher in the top right-hand corner when you get to the website. Then you enter TMOS for both the code and the password. That's two TMOSs. That gets you six bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. NakedWines.com/TMOS and use the code and password TMOS to grab six bottles for just $39.99. NakedWines.com/TMOS code and password. $100 off your first six bottles. Cheers, everybody.
Hey! Look at the Kraken. He's covered with cream of tartar.
He's coming out of the sea.
We begin today.
Just so you know, yes. Cream of tartar is a tartaric acid, and it is a byproduct of winemaking. And it can be used not only to make your egg whites billowy, as it says, but also great for cleaning your toilet.
You really can clean your toilet with cream of tartar?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds nasty to me. Just tartar.
Why
do they call tartar? So that's what you scrape off teeth. So
yeah,
tartar is a type of scrape offable thing.
Unless it's steak tartare, that's something different altogether.
The word T-A-R,
tartar,
grosses me out. Tartar sauce, tartar on your teeth, tartar on a dog's teeth.
Okay,
right?
That's
what do you give them milk bones for to get rid of tartar?
Greens. What about the what about a McDonald's fish sandwich with a little tartar sauce on it? That's good, right?
No, I will eat tartar sauce.
Okay.
I don't like the word tartar. That's the point I'm trying to make. I'm the dumbest show in the United States, ladies.
You should taste my meringue.
We start today with Jerry Seinfeld. He has been getting a little negative press these days. Nothing too horrible. He complained a bit about wokeness. And then some kids boycotted his Duke University commencement speech,
just
a small group, because of his stance on Israel and Gaza. And he suggested that his good friend Howard Stern wasn't funny. Nothing that would cancel the guy. But then the internet said, hold my beer. And now there's a lot of chatter online about how Jerry dated a 17-year-old girl when he was 38. I remember that.
Of course.
And I remember it not being a deal.
I remember
but I remember
being,
people talking about it.
It made him a target for jokes, but I don't think anyone
was
morally upset by it.
Her name was Shoshana Lonstein, and although now it's Shoshana Lonstein Gruss, she's a 48-year-old divorced fashion designer. When she started dating Jerry in the mid-90s, she was still in high school. Although her family approved of the relationship, and while there were jokes, there really wasn't a massive outcry. I remember it that way.
Yeah,
I don't remember there being a massive thing. At the time, Jerry, who always has something to say.
Yeah, he does not like to keep quiet.
Was quoted as saying, Shoshana is a person, not an age. That's my only Jerry Seinfeld. Shoshana's a person, not an age.
If you want to attack Jerry, forget 30 years ago, and let's discuss his new movie about Pop-Tarts, which is now, what, 2 weeks old?
The worst attack thing Jerry. We attacked Jerry back when the Seinfeld sitcom was at its pinnacle. And he was talking about the process and giving them a finale that they would like. And when he did the spiel about you have to think of the audience as a child.
Yeah.
And you can't give everything to the audience they want. I was ready to barf.
Yeah.
It was the most superior. I'm smart. It's a television. It's a stupid television show. Just like this is a stupid radio show. If you put more import on it, that's what I can't stand. I can't stand when people pretend to be more important than they really are. Be grounded just a little bit, Jerry.
That's what
I had a problem with.
I don't deny the fact that Jerry Seinfeld was, and perhaps still is, one of the greater stand-ups. He's very, very good at what he does.
Really, really honed and refined, slick stand-up.
To a science. Yeah. But when you talk about the self-importance, that's where he loses me.
That's when I got him. I didn't care about anything else other than that. Well, ironically, Jerry's good friend Howard Stern was one of the few people who really gave it to him.
He was
relentless.
Did
a parody song about it.
He did a song called At 17. He actually hired Janice Ian to come in and sing it.
That's funny.
Because I was running at
Howard's
that time.
Part.
I was just starting in the business, and I was...
Oh, then you were running board for Howard.
I was running board for Howard at WJFK, so I heard all of it. He'd go on massive rants about it. So the fact that they've landed as friends is kind of a, I don't know, suspect, but it's unexpected to me.
Yeah, anyway. And he called him a horny, lonely TV guy. So that's it, you know.
And to be fair, Mike, Wayne Knight only dated women his own age.
Hello, Newman. The first Golden Bachelorette was announced yesterday.
Oh, is it Merle?
It was ABC's upfront presentation, and her name is Joan Vassos. She is a 61-year-old school administrator, and she's from the great state of Maryland. She was on The Golden Bachelor, but had to leave early to care for her daughter, who'd recently given birth.
Hello, my name is Joan Vassos, and I'm going to be on that Bachelor show.
Well, I thought that was almost a British accent. Hey, we're going down the ocean. We're going to go down and get some English's fried chicken, and I'm going to go on The Golden Bachelor.
You nailed the show, it.
The show will air Wednesdays in the fall. It'll be followed by Abbott Elementary. I guess this whole ABC thing.
Sure.
Meanwhile, a documentary on Bruce Springsteen's recent tour is coming to Disney Plus and Hulu, all under the same umbrella. And the final shortened season of The Conners won't debut until mid-season, if you care.
But that's the Roseanne program, the after Roseanne program.
Yes, she's not associated with her.
No, no, not anymore, no.
When she went full wingnut, that's
Do you think it's too late to do a Bruce documentary on his tour?
I think that I am always fascinated by backstage tour documentaries. There's nothing I like better than seeing a great artist who I like and seeing them backstage before they go on. I always think that's like super cool. So no, I never get tired of those. You probably like those documentaries.
Yeah, I do
too.
It's just I wonder if his fan base is as other artists is just aging. And I'm curious.
No, that would
about
be our fan base that's aging out.
Ah, thank you, Mike.
That's what it is. If you're keeping track,
I understand.
No, they're not,
Bruce.
They're not aging out. All right,
but no.
By the time they age out, I'll be dead too. So that's
what
fine.
I meant
I'm
was
cool
the Elvis
that.
Presley fan base.
Here's another fan base getting older, but not aging out. Eminem's upcoming album is called "The Death of Slim Shady." Oh. And he's going all the way with it. He just ran an obit for Slim Shady. This is funny.
That is funny. In the Detroit
Free Press. It features a picture of Eminem in his old school overalls and hockey mask. It says that Shady led millions of fans down a road that, quote, glorified a demonstrably nihilistic worldview.
Yeah.
It adds, quote, his complex and tortured existence has come to a close, and the legacy he leaves behind is no closer to resolution than the manner in which this character departed this world.
Wow.
That's fantastic. I love this.
You know, one of the funniest clips ever, and it's on YouTube. Just Google Eminem top 10 list, and he read a top 10 list on Letterman's show. But when he came out, he just, for a moment, looked over and glared at Dave because he was on the stage. He wasn't in the guest slot. He glared at Dave, and Dave looks at the camera and makes a scared face. Like, he's just absolutely horrified that he's in the building.
Like that face?
Yeah. It's all of 5 seconds, but it is something that is priceless.
Here's the last quote from the obit. May he truly find the peace in an afterlife that he could not find on Earth. That's cool because it's relevant and he's getting talked about, and I like Eminem, so that's a good thing, everybody.
Marshall Mathers.
We might have the answer to the question that has been nagging people for decades.
Huh?
Are tacos sandwiches?
I love tacos.
A judge in Indiana just ruled on it this week. A man named Martin Quintana has been trying to open a taco place in a strip mall in Fort Wayne. My favorite part of Indiana.
Well, also known internationally as the home of the great taco is Fort Wayne, Indiana. If you want
and
a good
it's
taco.
Also, if you go the full name of it, is Fort Wayne Night.
Hello, Jerry.
Tacos, Jerry.
But he ran into some red tape when he wanted to open his taco place in a strip mall, thanks to a contract that limits the type of restaurants allowed. It says you can only open a place that sells made-to-order Subway-style sandwiches. That's stupid to put that in a contract, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is.
So he sued, claiming tacos and burritos are sandwiches.
I love a burrito as well.
The contract was designed to prevent big fast food chains from moving in. Okay, I get that. His case has been making its way through the legal system, and a Superior Court judge just ruled on Monday that, yes, tacos and burritos are actually sandwiches.
This is great and huge news.
There could be still be an appeal. And the next judge might disagree, but he ruled that tacos and burritos are basically just Mexican-style sandwiches.
Hi, I'm from Fort Wayne, and I would like to declare that a taco is a Mexican-styled sandwich.
I have played multiple rounds of golf with people from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Well, I think Indiana is one of your great feeder states for the snowbirds, isn't it?
Right down the 75 super
Zoom,
slab, right
yeah.
down
and
here.
Great people to a person.
And people who would probably say to their friends when they haven't seen them for a long, hot summer would say, when did you get Biak? Thank you. Thank
did
you very
you
much.
Do you want to come over for a taco?
Tacos. We're having tacos. Where's the taco?
It's Taco Tuesday.
Ronald, where's the taco seasoning? Ron. Where's the taco seasoning? For the love of God, Napoleon, eat a quesadilla.
This still seems like future stuff, but man, do I love this story. My favorite story of the day. Second favorite. This is future. It's a bit scary how fast AI is moving and how fast it's happening. A 61-year-old German man, his name is Michael Baumer. B-O-M-M-E-R.
Sure.
He has terminal cancer, and he is leaving behind an AI version of himself. I think this is so cool to me. He is the first customer for a service called Eternos, E-T-R-N-O-S, that creates your own AI double. He's been training an AI to act just like him and carry on after he's passed away.
I don't know.
Hear me out, and then I welcome your commentary on this afterwards.
Right.
You tell it your thoughts and memories, so it learns to mimic your personality, your voice, and can even generate new ideas similar to what you might think up. They asked him 150 questions about himself and his life, and he spent several weeks answering them at length. I just think this is cool. This is just like an AI version of Legacy Box.
But what if, I mean, for example, in the past, there's certain Germans I'm sure I didn't want an AI version of to live on.
Your little world.
I'm just saying.
I picture you when the show's over. You don't leave that chair except for meals. And you're just there going, meh, don't you? Josh, you wanted to say something.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That's what Rob should be focused on. How many episodes of a podcast can this AI do?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, yes. Yeah,
then I've been feasibly replaced.
Wouldn't that be something if you were able to generate all new content?
But, right. I'm saying the Michael Mara Show lives forever.
Oh, so you're saying not for me.
I'm older than you, Rob. Josh is younger than you. And it would go, you know, it would be fine.
But don't you feel a little creepy if, say, your great-grandson goes up to AI Omera and asks a question that you don't have any sort of knowledge base on because probably it didn't exist when you were alive?
I agree with that.
An answer that's wrong?
I agree with you on that, but that's not necessarily what this is for. Let me continue on the story.
Please.
The point is to give your family something to interact with when you're gone so they can still ask questions and go, what?
What if they don't interact with you when you're alive?
Then you're SOL.
I thought so. See, it's not for everybody.
No, I would say, though, for people that are super close to their family and people that, you know, have lots of kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, they can ask questions. They can go to you for advice.
Right.
You know.
Don't attack Poland.
Even the don't make it about Nazis just because he's German, for God's sake.
Mike, I've got a long memory. That's all.
Even Michael Bonner's bomber, rather, B-O-M-M-R, his great, and of course it's bomber.
I wasn't going to say a word.
Luftwaffe! Sorry. See, then he sucks me in. Even Michael's great-great-grandchildren will be able to talk to him or something close. He and his wife got to see his AI in action for the first time last month, and we're both impressed. And this is a guy who's, you know, whose time on Earth is limited. She asked it to say something nice to her before bed, and in his exact voice, it said, "My love, have sweet dreams, and I love you very much." How comforting would that be for a loved one? Are you cynical about everything? Don't you think this might be something that would be kind of cool?
Don't want a robot.
It's not necessarily a robot. It's not cheap either.
The wife actually also said that he was a very gentle lover.
Does she lie on the right side or the left side or on her back?
I am 30 minutes late today.
It's not cheap, but also not totally insane. It costs $10,000 to $15,000, but that's a one-time cost, and your family never has to pay anything. There's already a wait list to sign up. I am telling you, it fascinates me. It fascinates me because when you get to a little longer in the tooth, this may be because I am an older father. I really think...
What happened to...
I'll do it right after I finish my raffle.
Introducing your kids to the way you think by talking to your children.
Yeah, but I mean, great grandkids and I'm not going
to
see my.
Isn't this the same as writing letters to your kid for when he's older?
Or recording a video that they're going to play somewhere down the road? It's similar. It's similar to that, only it's a little more.
It's interactive.
Interactive and technologically advanced. So it's something I think
about. It could
go
screwy, it could go horribly wrong.
I'll record one thing. I'll say, never play a Rube raffle with a jewelry store in Miami.
Mom, what's this file that says 50-50?
Right. And by the way, if I'd won and I came in here and I was bragging about what I know based on my my week-long dive into different websites that I would just take unmerciful crap about that. I would.
I know. You can't do anything right. You can't.
But if we do a raffle on the Mike O'Mara Show, rest assured it's something you can eat. Let's move on to our final story right now. If you are a high school senior, the worst news, and I can relate to this even though I'm long away from it, the worst news is a college rejection letter. I got a bunch of them.
You hate it.
Did you aimed at one school, right? And then you just got in. And you didn't do a lot. You didn't cast a wide net, did you?
No, I only applied to VCU because at the time they were the only in-state school that was credited for mass communications. Knew I could get in, and I ended up getting a scholarship. So, I mean, I got in
so
plus some.
Great. I mean, but did you think at the time that did you consider aiming high, especially with a scholarship? Did you ever think about that? I never asked you about that.
In retrospect, I wish I had also applied to Syracuse, although we never could have afforded it.
Right.
That's the best communication school in the
country.
Yeah, at least it was then.
Newhouse School of Communication. Yeah.
But also, that was at a time that money was particularly scarce in our family. And, you know,
you decided you go with the in-state.
Go in-state. And also, every application was costing $25-$50 to apply to a university. So
when you got your acceptance letter,
right.
Did you get the acceptance I've never heard you tell that story.
No.
How did that work?
It came
for you?
Later. I was accepted. Oh,
so you got accepted, and then what?
Which
happened?
Was good. You know, and I was very happy that I got into the school that I wanted to go to. And then there was a smaller scholarship, like $1,000, that was just based on a overall academic excellence. You'll forgive the word. I wasn't all that great, but I had some nice recommendation letters. And then I remember this moment so clearly because we had just the day after I graduated from high school, we moved from Vienna, which is a very close in suburb to Washington, D.C., to Ashburn, which is much further out and now is bustling. But it was a long distance phone call when I moved there. And so I was in the kitchen of the new house. There might have even still been like boxes around and letters, you know, you get your mail. And I got one and it was from VCU and was a pretty thick envelope.
Okay.
And my initial thought was they're taking something away.
Okay.
So I opened it with some hesitancy. My mom was there, but I didn't let her know I got it. And it was called the Provost Scholarship. And it was, and I read the letter, and to my understanding, it was for 4 years, it was basically everything but books and lodging for 4 years.
And you had to apply for it, correct?
Yes. And I didn't think that anything was going to, I mean, I had already applied for it, and I didn't think anything
had
come of it.
How did that feel?
Oh my God.
You got an academic scholarship.
I read it about 6 times. The only thing is that my GPA could not duck below a 3.4 the whole time I was at college. Then it would be rescinded. But I kept reading it and I couldn't believe what I was reading. And I went to my mom and she tells it that it was with a shaky voice. I said, "Can you please read this and tell me what it means to you?" And she says, "This says that you've been approved for all 4 years of your tuition." And it was almost a life-changing thing because we didn't have a lot of money then. And it was sensational. And I was able to keep a 4.0 through my junior year because I knew that it was my ass if I ducked below. And so it was very,
and,
very
you know,
cool.
And you would have maintained it if it hadn't been that senior year PE class.
Mike, I can't.
Man,
climb,
I never heard that.
Can't
story.
Climb the rope. But that was.
That's
you
cool.
See, the thing that was so cool about it, I was already happy about being accepted with the small scholarship for my freshman year, and then to get the additional one, it was one of the prouder moments I've had. It was very
that's cool.
That's cool. Yeah,
that is. That's amazing. That really, really. So hear this out on this story.
Okay.
Scratch. The worst news: getting a rejection. No, the worst news is getting accepted and then having it retracted.
Oh.
Listen to what happened. Georgia State University mistakenly sent out about 1,500 welcome emails for the upcoming school year. Technically, it wasn't an official acceptance letter, but the kids who got them definitely were given that impression.
Right.
The school realized the error and sent out retractions.
That was what I was afraid of when I opened that letter.
Well, that's what kid is not paranoid at that time in their lives when they care about the follow-up note. You know, people go to jail over this crap.
Right.
The follow-up notices explain the error and told the students they are still being considered. Thanks. Apparently, the admissions process was incomplete, and those welcome emails were just sent out prematurely. Naturally, a lot of students were upset. One mother said, "Our daughter won't talk about it. She wouldn't come out of her room all day."
Wow.
I can get it. She was very disappointed. Georgia State University says they will now be triple checking their process to make sure this never happens again. And at the university president's residence, they made the martinis extra double strength. There you go. So, way to go.
We'd love to have you come to our college.
Yes, I think it would be simply charming.
God, that sucks. I'm so sorry for all those kids. I couldn't stand it.
If I'm going through, Rob, the rejections, Syracuse, Ithaca, Boston University, and maybe one other that I can't remember. And then when I got the AU letter, it was a big, big deal. And,
but you still had your time at Marist where your roommate was Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, and, you know, God, did he snore. It's a new modern era for the Mike O'Mara Show, and yes, we are new modern guys. Speaking of Bill O'Reilly, right, Rob? Modern guys, right,
modern
Oz?
Modern guys, Bill.
Are we modern, Oz? Are you there? Yeah? All right. Yeah. Yeah.
We're modern.
We're modern.
That's why we also sent accidental emails out a couple weeks ago.
The new modern thing is social media, and we love it like nobody's business. You know that. It's been around for a while. That's why we, the show, need you, the listener, to come along on the Social Media Express. If you can hear my voice right now, we need you to hop on Facebook and like and share our new Facebook page. It's called The Mike O'Mara Show.
Hold it. What's it called?
You'll find it at the Book of Faces.
Okay.
At facebook.com/TheMikeO'Mara Show. Be sure to like and to share all of our content on Twitter or X if you prefer, TikTok, YouTube, and good old Instagram. Be a part of the fun. And then one day, if we get enough followers, we are going to have a watch raffle that you would not believe for $100,000 in watches. Shut up. Don't laugh at me. Like, share, and laugh. We thank you. We appreciate you. And we see you.
No, Mike, stop it.
We see you.
Oh, stop.
We hear you.
Right.
And we stand with you.
You're goddamn right we do.
She's
there it is.
She's got my thoughts and she's crystallized them.
You never know on this show what's going to generate some interest. A lot of people were talking about our discussion of raw milk yesterday.
Yes.
And, you know, I immediately, when I see something like that, I err on the side of give me the process stuff because I worry about Gribbles and stuff.
Yeah.
Maestro Jim Villani, a tremendous supporter of this show and somebody that I've been on stage with before. Great guy. Great.
Yeah,
I've had
social interaction with him, and he's very cool. I mean, he literally runs an orchestra. He is a maestro. I love talking to him.
When did the two of you go to that bathhouse together?
Stop it. He was an in-studio guest in the living room days.
Yes, he was.
And also, he bought Paul McCartney tickets from me.
And he runs the Manassas Symphony Orchestra up in Northern Virginia, still to this day. Jim Villani writes this, "Alas, I can speak about raw milk because my 24-year-old son has been drinking it for over a year. He started for the supposed health benefits, which he swears by. You can't buy raw milk, and you can possess it only." He gives five facts here about it.
Okay.
Number one, you can't buy raw milk, and you can possess it only if you own the cow. Did you know this?
I did not know this. I know so that raw- you shouldn't buy the cow if you get the milk for free.
And never be half an hour late to your tea time.
Right. Oh, by the way, thank you, Joel Rosenbaum, for checking in with that generous offer. We appreciate it.
Oh, very nice. Thank you. Oh, and we got to give props to our number one
Doug Carlson.
Doug Carlson, who was the number one supporter for our cocktail party. Thank you very, very, very much for that. So number one, you can't buy raw milk. You can possess it only when you own the cow. So raw milk cooperatives get around this by leasing you part of the cow and giving you the milk. I'm just sharing the news from Mr. Villani here. Number
That's
two.
Stupid.
It's why is it stupid?
Because they're skirting the law.
Everything's stupid to you today.
Well, you know what? So I'm crabby. You know what? Maybe if the mulch got done, I'd like the cow share.
Well, the whole week would have turned for you.
Yeah, it's my whole life.
It's never refrigerated. This is number two. Never refrigerated, but kept at cool room temperature.
What he doesn't drink after a couple of days, he makes into yogurt, which more or less eats up the bacteria. I am the messenger. I am reading it. I feel like you're directing this at me. Number three, the collection process is supposedly ultra clean from the collection buckets to the glass bottles.
Oh, I buy that. I know that they focus on sanitary. That's got to be the case.
Oh, and then he throws
in a barn.
This is his son. This is Jim's son. Number four, I warned him. So he's not all, I don't think he's on team raw milk.
No,
but
he's
telling
not.
About his son. And number five, despite graduating from the University of Virginia with high honors, he may be an idiot or a genius. I hope he doesn't get bird flu from his Pennsylvania Amish cow milk. Thank you, Maestro. Thank you very much, Maestro, for sharing.
If anyone thinks for a moment any milk is being, especially the suspect milk, is being gathered in a sanitary environment into a clean bucket, get your head out of your ass. Because
now listen,
it's not. It's in a barn.
I know that you have issues with a lot of different things. You feel that there's a scam around every corner. I believe, and I really do believe, we're talking seriously, what we started the show with today,
right.
I believe that the person that won that raffle is going to go to that jewelry store, and he is going to go through, and he is going to go through that jewelry store, and he will be picking out watches with a value of $100,000. I believe it. They might not be the watches that fly off the shelves for them, but they will have that value. I believe that. I also believe
that the watches he select will be raw watches, and they will be kept at room temperature.
Okay. You are a cynic. You're even cynical about cicadas. You think it's a scam that they talk about the 17-year arrival of cicadas.
Ooh, double brood. Here it comes. Double brood.
What does that mean?
That means that the reason that this year's non-event is going to be so big is because two broods of cicadas are overlapping. And the problem with cicadas, Mike, is that there has been so much construction and revamping of the Northern Virginia area, they have plowed up and dug up all of the cicada eggs from the last brood, so they're not going to come. I ran into a Facebook memory today or yesterday that was outside your house in Manassas, and it was one of the cicada shells, not the bug itself. You know, they're sort of yellowish, light brown shells that they leave everywhere when they molt.
Yeah, right.
And I wrote, "Here they come." And that was the only shell I found that year after they had talked them up forever.
You know, with a lengthy run with Don Geronimo, I am almost embarrassed to say it still brings me back to the thing that I was entertained by more than anything else. I was creeped out by these bugs. And this was a year when we're doing the Don and Mike show where they were everywhere, and
it would have been 2006, I think.
So it was late in our game as far as our
No, hold on, I take that back. 2004, because there was an 87 that was a big one, and then 2004 was a big one. So yeah,
we were doing afternoons
right
at WJFK, and he would eat them by the handful.
Yep.
And it was before the days where our shows were video streamed. And
we had to go on was the crunch.
The crunch. It was stunning.
Yeah.
It was stunning how he did that. And he was unfazed. And I'm talking about multiples of live cicadas.
Yeah.
And
wiggling.
Oh, my God. You know, it's funny when you talk about people that you've worked with before. I will always have moments with everybody, no matter what the circumstances are, that I enjoy, and that nothing changes that.
You're right.
I was thinking about that the other day. You know, in everybody's case, there are moments. I remember that moment. Those are the things I like to reflect on. You know, when we moved on and Oscar left the show. Or as some people like to say, I was fired. I really love the fact that when he would tell stories about his family, like their Christmases and the way they do it, I'll always remember that. That will be something that I always look positively on. The greatest thing I loved about you doing on the show, because we've been through Frida passing away, and when you came in and you were talking about your son's battle with cancer, and you brought all the doctors in, one of the greatest moments.
The only segment I saved
for you.
The only segment I ever saved from our time together is that. I'm so proud of that. So proud of my kids, because Carrie and both children were there, and Dr. Greenberg, Dr. Jay Greenberg, who has saved the lives of so many kids. Mm-hmm. And I said this to him that day. I said that. Meeting him to me now is like seeing Santa Claus in a mall. It's like, I can't even believe you're that good of a guy. So
yeah,
that was an amazing time. So,
very
so cool.
And for me, I mean, the greatest thing that I will say will be that Irish joke that I told at the beginning of the year.
And for those of you who stayed with it through the whole joke today, good for you.
Way to go. Good for you, everybody.
But Mike,
thank you.
There's not going to be a cicada brood this year in the D.C. area. Mine might.
So you say they're saying they're going to pop out at a certain time, and you're saying it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and they've done huge coverage here that they're coming, and it's a double brood. There is one, I don't even know where it is. One, like, parks department that did a great video. I want to show you some of it about the life cycle of a cicada. But what they did is they acted it out with employees at the park department as cicadas. And it actually makes a lot of sense.
Where we are in the life cycle right now is the cicadas are hiding right just below the soil surface and emerge when the temperatures are right. It's roughly around 64 degrees soil temperature. And they'll come out, crawl up trees or other inanimate objects like garages and stuff, and they will crawl out of their exoskeletal shell, which is the shell that they were in the nymph form, and they'll emerge as an adult. And at this point, they're soft-bodied. They're kind of white. They haven't really gotten their true colors yet. It takes about 2 to 3 days for their bodies to firm up, their new exoskeletons to firm up, and they become their true colors.
Now there's a guy in a tree dressed as a cicada.
Black color. Their wings become this really
might be the same lady.
Orange,
could be,
which is very cool. And they'll have the distinctive red eyes. And after about a week after they emerge, the males will go crawl up to the tops of the trees and start singing to attract mates.
He's got
and
bongos.
When they do this, the females so will start funny. To fly around them. And if they want to show that a male is, you know, worthy of her, she will flick her wings at him and they will mate.
Say, girl, if I was a fruit fly, I'd land on you first because you're so sweet.
And then the female cicada will then, she'll lay her eggs on branches and even main stems of trunks. What she does is she cuts a groove into the branch to get to the vascular tissue of the tree. She'll lay her eggs.
Putting jelly beans into a tree.
It's about 600 eggs, so it's quite a lot. And those eggs will then, after about 6 or 7 weeks, they'll hatch into very, very small nymphs. They're about the size of a very small ant. And they'll start feeding on the sap flowing from that vascular tissue. And then they'll feed for a short period of time, and then they'll fall to the ground. They'll start burrowing into the ground and then start feeding on plant roots, both trees as well as like herbaceous plants. And then they'll hang out there, really feeding and growing for the next 17 years. Then they will emerge in that 17th year. The nymphs will come back up to the surface of the soil. Then the process starts over again.
Isn't that an amazing, that they acted out is great. But it is an amazing story of how they continue to cycle. I love it.
It's something. The idea, the only thing that still amazes me is when they go into the ground and it's 17 years later.
Yep.
That's the cool thing. And that's why bugs will be here probably long after we are gone. We got to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about our friend Jimmy Cerrito and his daughter.
Good old Jimmy,
And also a few words about the Tom Brady roast. And we will have more fun and more thrills. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. And remember, you heard it here first. Rob doesn't think they're ever coming. They're not going to show they're going to be total no-shows.
It's a government scam.
It's a plot. Hey, let's talk about our friends at Legacy Box. It's a great gift for the whole family. Relive moments like wedding days, first steps, or the embarrassing haircut you had in the 1990s.
Oh, yeah.
Reconnect with your family's history and hear your grandmother's voice again without the AI that we talked about before. Wonderful memories. Just send in your Legacy Box and you'll get everything back on the cloud or a thumb drive along with your originals. So easy. Legacy Box digitizes over 15 different types of analog media. So whether it's VHS, Super 8, photo negatives, they got you covered. Thanks to Legacy Box, all of our family's histories can live on and yours can too with digital clarity. And no degradation. And they're a wonderful supporter of the Mike O'Mara Show. And I really think this is the time to take advantage. One of my mom's favorite gifts ever was a video I made about her life when she turned 80. Now, thanks to Legacy Box, it lives on forever. Join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever. Legacybox.com/TMOS. Yes, I wanted to give a shout out to our friend Jimmy Cerrito and his daughter Kelsey, who is she's going to be vlogging again. She did this once before. They are on she and her man are on another open sea adventure, sailing the South Pacific. And love to get Kelsey on talking about this if we can make that connection while she's out at sea. I don't know if it's possible, but it might be fun to try to do that if we could do it. I'd love to do that. She's down in the South Pacific Islands and traveling.
Where is she? Is it Tago or something? It sounds like almost like a made up name that she's headed to.
There are a lot of those islands in the. I don't know exactly what her itinerary is, where they are sailing, but I know that open water sailing can be a very interesting journey, and it can be fascinating, can be a little dangerous too. And I just think she's an adventurer, and that's really what she's done with
her life. I love that she's done this. She's still
got
young.
Her dad's energy. She's got she's got her mom's smarts.
Tonga.
She's got her dad's energy.
They're headed to Tonga. Yeah,
that's where they're headed, and just more power to her. I really want to say, Kelsey, we love you, and good luck with everything over there. I think it's going to be cool.
A bundle of positive energy, and I love the fact, and I talked to Jimmy about this, I believe it was off the show, that every day, without fail, she sends a picture of where she is to Jimmy.
Yeah.
Just to let him know what's going on. And Jimmy and Maureen Donahue Cerrito could not be prouder of her. And she's a great kid. It's fun to have watched her grow up.
So, speaking of kids, Tom Brady regretted doing the roast.
I meant to say that at Jimmy's Old Town Tavern, they are serving generous portions of the Tom Brady roast with gravy and mashed potatoes.
Delish. and here's a weird thing. I agree with him. I think it was here's the thing. I think we have trouble with grown-up things in 2024. And I think a roast in 1960 in the 60s was different than a roast in 2024. And I got that from multiple players out there where the it's just that I don't want to say that it's a mean-spiritedness, but it was not Kevin Hart set the tone. You know, you mess with me, I'm going to get it. It was more competitive than it needed to be. Well, and it used to be just guys up there making jokes.
And also, right? Mike, to pull a brief page of comedy history, which I know you adore, the roasts were invented as a closed door thing. If you had,
you said that about the Friars Club.
If you had like 15 people on the dais and 100 people in the audience, they all had a good show. And there were rarely, if ever, recorded or preserved in any way. Now that it becomes a television show, it's instead of sort of, warmly making fun of a friend of yours that's also in the business, now it's become a look at me situation. And the expense of being looked at is having people insult you. And it's a different flavor.
And then you get celebrities that have joke writers that go up there. You only have, in my opinion, two people, although Drew Bledsoe, I give thumbs up. Well, I didn't stay for the whole roast. Drew Bledsoe was extremely funny because he was the guy that was replaced by Tom Brady. That was, in and of itself, a brilliant choice to have him up there and do that. And I thought he was self-deprecating and funny at the same time. Then you have Jeff Ross, who is old school. He is a throwback to the days, and you know what he says is going to be pure shtick when that happens. And I loved it. And then Nikki Glaser killed as well.
She's amazing. Yeah. I mean, if you own your own material,
you know, that's really it. And I don't care for the rest of it.
Was it 2 hours?
I didn't stay with it.
It's
but, I mean,
so
it was,
long. It's too much. It's
but
no good.
It is too much. And it used to be a simple thing, you know, where you get up there and do it. And it was show busy. And it was not it's kind of what our show business has become now. Gotcha moments. And now, do you get the impression with all these stories about it that, you know, you talk about smelling a rat and being a cynic. This is where I'll put my cynic hat on, where I'm like going, how many stories are we going to have after the fact?
Well, how convenient
is that really
it,
legit, right?
How convenient is it as we finally stop talking about whether or not he really got angry about the jokes about Robert Kraft? That's down to a dull roar. And now Tom Brady, I don't know if he said it or maybe a source said it, that he shouldn't have done the roast. And what's that going to make people do? But it's just Hollywood, and they've got us by the short ears.
Yeah, it's a machine.
Yeah,
it's the machine. But I also think that the roast tone, which I used to be, you know, you knew people were going to get zingers, but you didn't. It didn't feel like anything really mattered. Does that make sense to you?
Where
it was just like the tone of it was not assault,
lighthearted.
Like it was. It just was. You know, let's see who can say the meanest thing when and not be funny. Jeffrey Ross and Nikki Glaser are funny.
Yeah,
their jokes are funny. And I think
don't bring up a Kardashian. Don't do any stunt casting.
No,
do people that are funny.
Thank you. I agree. So Tom Bay, and if he regretted it, I thought it wasn't that. I would regret it not because my kids' feelings were hurt. I would regret it because it's just. Just wasn't good. That's the way I look at it. It's. I want to give some before we get out of this break.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for rambling here.
You're fine.
A frozen waffle Recco, and I know I didn't write down the correct product here. I know I didn't.
Right.
But it's. Are you familiar with Kodiak? They make protein cereals.
Mm-hmm.
They make protein pancake mixes and stuff like that.
They have an alliance with Costco. Costco sells some of their products.
Let me make sure. I want to get on here and make sure I get it right.
They also make great chewing tobacco.
It's Kodiak chewing tobacco.
I don't think
Kodiak
it's related.
It's really, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it right.
All right.
Hold on. I'll do it.
Traded in his Chevy for a Kodiak. You ought to know by
all right.
now.
So it is, where is it? They're frozen waffles. You don't get a lot of them, but they have a buttermilk version. And they have Kodiak. They have they're called Power Waffles. They're protein-packed Power Waffles.
The WAVA Power Waffle.
It's Power Waffle. They are my son. I didn't have them. My kid did. And absolutely adored the waffles. Yeah. And I think they're called like extra fluffy or something. They're really super thick. They look like the kind of Belgian waffle you'd get when you go to a Sunday brunch.
Do they fit into a toaster?
Yes, just barely. That's what I liked about
great
it.
Great design.
Absolutely.
Great design.
But
yeah.
Not a lot in the box, you know? But I think like a lot
well,
of protein.
Well, Mike, you've said the same thing about me.
Yes,
extra fluffy, but not a lot in the box.
Extra fluffy. We will return. How is your side of Flip today?
Bursting at the sides with great stuff.
Oh, thank you, good sir. We will have that and Rob Spiewak for you. You can eat when we return. On the Mike O'Mara Show, whoa, whoa. Sorry, I lost my place in the show.
You're fine.
We'll be right back. Let's face it, everybody has to deal with bugs, not just cicadas.
Right.
Bugs in and around your house. If bugs are even a minor problem for you, you have to check out our next sponsor, Pestie. P-E-S-T-I-E. Pestie, a do-it-yourself pest control company on a mission to provide pro-grade pest control products at an affordable price. With Pestie, there is no more waiting all day with stacks of D's hot cash for the bug guy to show up when you can spray it yourself. Spray it yourself in a few minutes. While other pest control companies charge hundreds of dollars and make a one-size-fits-all plan, Pestie makes a customized treatment plan for you based on your geographical locations, bugs, and climate. And the best part? Pestie is kid and pet friendly, so you don't have to worry about their safety. Plus, Pestie offers a 100% bug-free guarantee or your money back. Seriously, no questions asked. And what I like about it, too, is that if you have a, I would call it like a flare.
Yeah.
Like, say maybe you see ants where they're not supposed to be. You do it yourself, and you don't have to wait. You don't have to play the waiting game
for
the guy.
It is so easy, and it's fun because you get an actual sprayer. You get to do it yourself. It's cool.
Now is the time to protect your home from bugs for less with Pesty. Head to pesty.com/TMOS and use code TMOS for an extra 10% off your order. That's pesty.com/TMOS, 10% off, and make sure you use our promo code TMOS so they know that we sent you, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Sorry. Mike, we've had clips from a YouTube site called There I Ruined It Before. This mm-hmm. one is so clever, I felt I had to share it. What he's done here, I don't know if it's a guy or a team, but they've made tapes of what it might sound like if famous rock and roll singers fell downstairs. Okay. And they're using actual tapes of the singers, which I think is clever. So here we go. I hope we mentioned one of your favorite singers here. This is There I Ruined It. Michael Jackson. David Lee Roth. Of course, from Van Halen. Rapper Cupcake.
Oh, went down, down, down. I fell.
Johnny Cash.
Mama!
Freddie Mercury.
Elvis falling.
Elvis, so great.
Oh, Whitney.
Tom Petty. James Hetfield.
Steven Tyler. I love it.
So great, Mike. You know what? I know we're silly, but sometimes silly is
great. By the way, programming note.
Yes.
They are Kodiak thick and fluffy. Waffles, power waffles.
Thank you.
Kodiak thick and fluffy. Thank you for those people that hang on every word. There we
Mike,
go.
I know you love going to the ball game. Ever have we can bring Josh in on this too. I guess some days at the ball yard are better than others when your team wins is great. But if you have a story to tell, what's not to like?
Right.
Have you ever caught a foul ball?
Like I have.
You have? Mike, have you ever?
When we used to, before they put, and I'm sorry, I'm one of the people that, I don't know, we'll ask our number one baseball fan. The net is just, it's such a drag. It's such a drag. They run the net now all the way from home plate all the way down the right field line, and it is such a drag to go to a game and have that up there. When when Carla and I started dating,
yes.
And Carla, the very first game, 2003, we go to Carla was 19. No,
stop it.
Carla and I. We started to, and she wears a Red Sox jersey. Goes out, gets the female jersey, and she's got the Red Sox sweatbands and a hat, and comes in, and she surprised me. Did this all like went to the store. Went into the ladies' room, put all the stuff on, and came out. It was just this wonderful surprise. It was our first real big trip together, mm-hmm. and it was so, it was the beginning of the romantic relationship, and I was so excited. But the players happened to be excited, too. We got a lot of foul balls that day where they would toss them. We were behind the dugout, and they would toss them up in spring training. And then when we had my son go to the spring training before those pesky nets came up.
Yeah.
He'd be behind the, we'd buy those game day tickets behind home plate and behind the dugout, and they'd throw them to him. It was very, very cool. But foul balls, I never caught one.
I've seen many players do this, especially during spring training. But there was a news story this weekend with Tyler Glasnow of the Dodgers that he met his girlfriend by writing the phone number on a baseball and throwing it into the crowd.
How is baseball a romantic game? Absolutely.
Why does he have a pen? Why does he have a pen on the field?
They all have pens.
It's to throw to the hot girls.
I see.
I've seen it done, especially out of the bullpen.
There it is, the bullpen, baby. Yep, well, that's why I like to go to Fenway and stay in the bleachers now.
If you catch a foul ball, that's a good day. But this guy takes it to the next level.
Okay.
This is at the Mariners game last night.
I lift the opposite way. MJ Melendez is into the corner, and
You talk about a basket catch, and it's true as form.
So that guy stopped it essentially with his stomach.
Ball the foul slicing ball to him.
Perfectly legal.
Is it a putt or a fly ball?
Okay, next pitch.
1-1. Again?
This one, a little straightened out, a little bit more. Let's see. Into the corner. What do we got?
Same guy.
Wow. That's awesome. That is awesome.
Jerry.
Absolutely
awesome.
Give that
man a contract.
Give that fan a contract.
The
yeah,
same guy. I love that. Now, Mike, let's close with this.
Yes.
If you go to China, there's lots of good things to see. But beware. If you see an advertisement at a Chinese zoo for miniature pandas, be very careful.
They may be unbearably adorable, but they aren't actually bears at all. The latest exhibit at this zoo in eastern China had visitors doing a double take.
Mike,
these
they're
pandas,
not pandas
are really chow chow puppies, advertised as panda dogs, and social media can't get enough of them.
Look quickly, and there's a resemblance to the rare giant panda. Sort of.
So they're selling.
Are they using magic markers or are those real? Is that the real coloration of the dog?
No, they're painting them. They're using hair dye to make dogs look like pandas. So Mike, the next time you go to a Chinese zoo, watch out for the panda dogs. And that
China is
all I have. China.
We gotta get out of here. Thank you very much, Rob Spiewak. Thank you, Josh. We appreciate you listening. Make sure you go to the Mike O'Mara Show Facebook destination. That's where. Follow it, like it, ring that bell. Why? Did I say it wrong?
No, I love it. I was just thinking about, you know, that'll be ultimately where we go to buy the raffle tickets.
Hey, you know what? Now I'm really going to do it. Josh, we're going to do it.
Okay.
Someday we're going to do a real raffle. That's right.
Okay.
We'll raffle Rob's head. That's what we're going to do.
We'll sell a part of it like those cows.
Well, if we ever get the toupee, that'll be the raffle.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Used. Yes. For Rob and Josh, this is Mike O'Mara saying thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. So long, everybody.
Bye, folks.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.